Gold medals aren't really made of gold. They're made of sweat, determination, and a hard-to-find alloy called guts. Dan Gable.
You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Wayne Gretzky.
You can observe a lot just by watching. Yogi Berra.
The harder I work, the luckier I get. Steve Young.
Champions aren't made in a gym. Champions are made from a desire, a dream, a vision. Muhammad Ali.
Baseball is 90% mental. The other half is physical.
It's not the size of a man that matters, but the size of his heart. Evander Holyfield.
It's not so important who starts the game, but who finishes it. John Wooden.
When you come to a fork in the road, take it. Yogi Berra.
Times I've been trusted to take the game-winning shot and missed. I've failed over and over and over again in my life, and that is why I succeed. Michael Jordan.
I'd give my right arm to be ambidextrous.
Whoever said it's not whether you win or lose that counts probably lost. Martina Navratilova.
You should always go to other people's funerals. Otherwise, they won't go to yours. Yogi Berra.
Behind every great man is a great woman. Gloria Steinem.
Behind every great woman is a great behind. Matt Rippey.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or tablet or phone. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast number 460, Remembering Yogi Berra. When we talk about the influences of the Reduced Shakespeare Company scripts, we often bring up Warner Brothers cartoons, Bugs Bunny, the Marx Brothers, Monty Python, sitcoms, stand-ups, silent movies, etc., etc., etc. But I just realized that there was another great influence for the Reduced Shakespeare Company in all of our writing, the great Yogi Berra, who passed away this week. So Reed Martin and I are here to reminisce about the great man and the great wit that he was.
Yes. I don't know if it was wit. If it's accidental, is it wit?
Well, this is what I'm asking. How much of it do you think he had so many great sayings? Was he just, I mean, I think of him like, he should be remembered like Mark Twain. He had so many great lines. Were they conscious? Do you know whether he was smart like that? Was it just accidental? Was it an act? Do you know? You know more about this stuff than I do.
I think it was accidental.
Okay.
He also said, I didn't say everything I said.
Right. So, which is in itself pretty genius.
Yes. Yeah. I think he said some things accidentally, and then stuff got into the sort of the public consciousness, and people started, I think, make up stuff that he supposedly said.
Right.
But the funny thing is, it all kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Right? Nobody goes there anymore. It's too crowded. That makes complete... I know what that means. I used to go there. My friends used to go there. And now it's really popular and we don't want to go.
Right.
On the surface, it makes no sense. And
right.
Just below the surface, it makes complete sense.
Right.
Or you should always go to other people's funerals, otherwise they won't go to yours.
Yeah.
Well, it's not quite right, but I completely understand what he means.
Absolutely. I mean, it's he was a great character. And I've said this before on the podcast. Is that I like everything about baseball except the actual game. I like the mythology. I like what it represents. I like it as a metaphor, and I love all the characters. And Yogi was perhaps the greatest of them.
He was great, and I put this on a Facebook comment, but what sort of gets lost among all his funny quotes is what a great player he was.
And he was a catcher, right?
He was a catcher. He also played some outfield because the Yankees had a second catcher, Elston Howard. So for a while, he played some outfield as well. But mostly, he was known as a catcher.
And this is how little I know. Isn't the catcher kind of the most important
role on the team?
Yeah, he's the quarterback.
Yeah.
And he was a little guy. I think he was like 5'7", right. Stocky.
Which is also great because it means the strike zone is small for the hitters, right?
Well, no. Oh, okay. It doesn't affect the hitter's strike zone, but umpires like small catchers because they can see the strike zone better as opposed to a bigger catcher.
Right. Okay.
But he, I liken it to Buster Posey, who's arguably the greatest catcher in the game today. Buster Posey has won one most valuable player, mm-hmm. and the Giants have won 3 World Series. So you multiply that by about 3. Yogi Berra won 3 MVPs and 10 World Series. Now he's with the Yankees, so that helps. But
right.
yeah, he went to the World Series 14 times and won 10.
And how long was he in the league?
I think he was in the league about 16, 17 years. I think he retired fairly young in those days. The money wasn't so great.
I was going to say, that's not an incredibly lengthy career, is it?
No, catchers tend to take a beating. Yeah. And also, back in those days, the money wasn't so good, so I think people retired sooner. But even going further back, so, yes, he has these funny sayings. Yes, he was one of the greatest players of all time.
Yeah.
Before he even reached the major leagues, he served in World War II. He was there at D-Day.
Jesus.
And wow. I think he was 19 years old. He got shot. So he qualified for the Purple Heart, but opted never to apply for it because he didn't want to scare his mother, let her know that he had been wounded.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Yeah, so he's 19, and then he ends up... There's been one no-hitter in the history of the 100-plus years of the World Series, Don Larson of the Yankees, mm-hmm. threw a perfect game, mm-hmm. meaning nobody reached base.
Right.
And Yogi caught it. I mean, he played with Joe DiMaggio.
Right.
He played with Mickey Mantle. And he's got a cartoon.
Right. And so Yogi Bear and his little pal Boo Boo, he of the Picnic of Baskets, was named after Yogi Berra. How cool is that?
Although Hanna-Barbera denied that when he sued them. I think I guess it's not completely clear, but it's clear that he wasn't happy about it. I think maybe he felt it was mocking him a little or something. So I think they reached a settlement.
Sure. Some ballplayers got candy bars named after them, but he got a cartoon character.
Yes.
Yeah.
I guess Hanna-Barbera denied it in the same way that the candy company denied that Baby Ruth was named after Babe Ruth. It was named after President Hoover's daughter or something.
Yeah, sure it was.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, obviously, anybody who's seen the sports show knows that one of the great scenes in the second act is basically written by Yogi Berra. Just a collection of great inspirational quotations and sayings by prominent athletes over the years. But Yogi Berra has 5 or 6 of them because your character is that's the only guy you'll quote.
Yes, I keep insisting on quoting Yogi Berra.
Yeah. But then, and I knew when we were writing the Complete Millennium Musical Abridged, I knew that the song Deja Vu All Over Again, that's one of his expressions, right?
Yeah, at least it's attributed to him. Yeah.
Right.
And
I just found out then in the wake of his death that he said, the future ain't what it used to be,
mm-hmm.
which I didn't know that was attributed to him. And in fact, I didn't even know that was the saying.
Mm-hmm.
I just know that when I wrote it in the Millennium Musical Abridged, I wrote it, oh, yeah, history ain't what it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
That's a saying, isn't it? What a great title for a song. And again, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Even though it doesn't, really.
Yeah. Well, people's perspective has changed.
I read this story, too, about he and Phil Rizzuto were teammates.
Yeah, Phil Rizzuto was a Yankee shortstop for much of Yogi's career,
right.
and then later became a beloved Yankee broadcaster.
Right, and if you lived in New York City at all, he used to do commercials for the Money Store. That's Phil Rizzuto from the Money Store. And if you know Meatloaf's song "Paradise by the Dashboard Light," you know, in the middle of the song when a couple in the car start going at it, you get Phil Rizzuto in the middle of it calling it. It's very funny. It's very funny, and it was great for Phil to kind of do that.
Yeah.
But that he and Yogi were old friends, and before Phil died, Yogi would go over to Phil's house and they'd play cards or they'd talk, and he would hold his hand until Phil went to sleep, and he would do this every single day.
Yeah, and nobody. I've read several interviews since he passed with people who knew him and said this is just the way he was.
Yeah.
He was the kind of friend, the kind of family member, the kind of teammate you would want.
Yeah.
So, he Phil was his friend. So as Phil was dying, he'd go over there every day and they'd play cards and then Phil would wear out and he'd hold his hand till he fell asleep and then Yogi would go home.
Greetings, this is Stan Grossfeld from the Boston Globe.
Yes, I took the picture of the ball going through Bill Buckner's legs, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company's podcast.
Deja vu. If it happened before, deja vu.
It'll happen some more.
Deja vu. You can't remember when. It's deja vu all over again.
Where can you RSC the RSC? Our fall of 2015 tour continues this week with performances of The Complete History of Comedy Abridged and The Ultimate Christmas Show Abridged in Virginia, California, Louisiana, North Carolina, Missouri, Kansas, and Michigan. And then, next April and May of 2016, we'll perform the official Reduced Shakespeare Company premiere of William Shakespeare's long-lost first play, Abridged, at the Folger Shakespeare Theater in Washington, D.C. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office, venue, and ticket information.
And you think the jokes are new? Haven't you been listening? We call it deja vu.
Does baseball attract characters? Do you think? I think of the stereotypes. These are all stereotypes, obviously, but the stereotype of the American football players who are just lunkheads, mm-hmm. you know, or the stereotype I'm coming to realize because my son did this of the cross country runners being poets and surfers and just great deep thinkers because they're spending all that time out there alone with their thoughts and their running feet. But does baseball seems to attract more than its share of characters? Is that a true thing?
I think it's true because of the leisurely pace of the game.
I was going to say glacial, but yes, leisurely is good too.
Yes, you have a lot of time to tell stories and cut up and pull pranks, unlike basketball or football where you have to be completely focused all the time. Half the time you're sitting on the bench during the game.
Right.
And then they're getting their hours before for batting practice and fielding practice and interviews. And also because it's a long time, you play 162 games in a season, right? 16 in football, what is it, 82 in basketball. So it's a very long season. And so just to keep yourself entertained, I think the people who are interesting and quirky and characters kind of rise to the surface.
Baseball's probably like the theater. If you could do anything else, you should.
Yes, I think that's fair. In the majors, it pays a little better than the theater.
Well, I always think about this with baseball, too, is that the greatest hitter in the game, was that still Joe DiMaggio?
No, I don't think it was probably ever Joe DiMaggio.
Who had the best run?
Well, people argue, but okay. One could argue Ted Williams, perhaps, of the Boston Red Sox, when they said, what does he want on his epitaph, you know, or when he walks by, there goes the greatest hitter ever.
Yes, so, and that's who I meant when I said, but yes, go ahead.
Yeah, Ted Williams, or you could argue Babe Ruth, perhaps.
And what were their percentages? Ted Williams hit 400, right?
Yes, he's the last guy to hit 400. I think it was in 1941 or 42. Okay.
So that means he hit 4 out of every 10 pitches.
Well, he got a base hit 4 out of every 10 at bats.
Okay.
Now, if you're good, you do it 3 out of 10. 300 is a very good hitter.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's really interesting. To be great at what you do in baseball, you fail 2/3 of the time.
Yeah, that's true. And so you kind of have to have a perspective about it. It's true.
Well, and I was thinking about that because I just came off two really great auditions in Chicago for television shows. I didn't get either one of them. So it means I need, if I'm as good as a baseball player, I need 5 more failures before I'll book something, you know?
Fingers crossed,
5 more failures. But I mean, it's true. It is a numbers game. It becomes a numbers game in our business, in the theater business. The more you audition, the greater shot you have.
Yeah. I mean, it's very much, you know, our friend Michael Faulkner, who does a lot of commercials, and he says it's really just numbers. Yeah. You get out there and you audition. Yeah. And some of them happen, but it's just getting out there as much as, it's the same as baseball. You get in a season, you have 500 or 600 at bats, and if you're really good, you get 150 or 200 hits.
Is that a thing? Is that a real thing? Or am I just, statistically, like in acting, all right, the casting people know you, they see you over time, and they finally go, oh, screw it, let's just give this guy something. Jesus, maybe he'll go away. But but in baseball, that's not how it works. It's not like, well, he was due. That's not how it works, right?
I think statistically he was due is a myth.
Yeah.
Just like the myth about, if you flip a coin and it comes up head 20 times, it's still 50-50, the next one's going to come up tails.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't increase.
Yeah, the odds don't increase in your favor over a cumulative period of time. Yeah. Every time the slate is wiped clean and it's a new round.
Yeah, and it's a level of mathematics I don't quite understand. Yeah, the odds never change, but right. If you're a lifetime 300 hitter and you're hitting 220 at the end of May, it's probably going to go up, but I don't know how that all works.
Who are the great characters in baseball now?
Oh, gosh. Who are the great characters in baseball now?
Come on, some of them have to be on your Giants. Who was the guy that rode the scooter? He's not with the Giants anymore, right? No, that's Hunter Pence.
Oh, yeah. Hunter Pence is a pretty good character. He's got wild hair, and he grows a beard, and he eats kale. And he rides around on, like, a Vespa.
Yeah, right.
And it got stolen, so he put it out on social media, and I think the guy just freaked out who stole it, and he returned it somewhere. Yeah, he's a decent character. Trying to think. I go back a little further. There's some fun ones. Bill Lee, who pitched for the Expos and the Red Sox for a long time. They called him, I think, Spaceman, okay. Right? And he had all kinds of great quotes in the 70s. The Cincinnati Reds were a real powerful team in the 70s. Mm-hmm. They called themselves the Big Red Machine. Mm-hmm. And in the 70s, Bill Lee went to visit Communist China. And he says, now I feel like I've seen the real Big Red Machine, you know?
Well, it's interesting. There's not, Yogi Berra, he lived so long and loomed so large in that sort of baseball mythology as a character. But he hasn't been in the game for 60 or 70 years. And he's still one of the most predominant characters. You know who I'm thinking of, though, as maybe he's kind of up there now, too? Bob Uecker.
Oh, yeah. Bob Uecker, who was a catcher, primarily for the Braves, yeah. Who's now a Milwaukee Brewers announcer.
Yeah.
Had a lot of funny sayings. And actually, a guy similar to him is Joe Garagiola.
Oh, sure.
Who was a catcher for years and years. And he actually grew up with Yogi Berra in an Italian neighborhood in St. Louis. So they were childhood friends.
Okay.
And the Cardinals, they both tried out for the St. Louis Cardinals. And they signed Garagiola.
Okay.
And offered Yogi not enough money, and Yogi said, the heck with this. And then the Yankees signed him, I think, to the Cardinals' eternal chagrin. Yes.
Well, and I think, if, again, for listeners who don't follow baseball quite so much, if you've seen the movie Major League, which I do recommend as a very, very funny movie that happens to be about baseball, Bob Uecker is the stadium announcer for the woeful Cleveland Indians, and he's hysterical in a very funny movie.
Yeah, like the pitcher throws one, and it's like 50 feet from the batter and just a bit outside.
It's such an understatement. For all of his flamboyant kind of sayings, he plays it so understatedly. A few weeks ago, I talked to George Wendt here on the podcast, Norm from Cheers, and he spent an evening with the Uke a couple of Mondays ago in Chicago, which is nice.
Nice. And getting back to Yogi, everybody who I've heard and read speaking about him said he was unfailingly gracious to everybody.
Yeah.
And when you're famous, like, I'm sure it's famous everywhere, but, in my few run-ins with famous athletes, they're aloof because everybody wants some of their time.
Yeah.
It's the price you pay for being famous. And everybody says he was just... Yogi was, yes, unfailingly gracious to any stranger who came up to him. Yeah, just a nice, nice guy.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your humorous witticisms via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also engage with us and other fans on Facebook and Twitter, and I hope you'll post reviews of this podcast on iTunes. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, greatest mouth in the game, Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and GarageBand, and this week also by Nick Graham, who wrote the tunes for History Ain't What It Used to Be and Deja Vu All Over Again from the Complete Millennium Musical Abridged, the soundtrack of which can be found on iTunes. Our random fan shout out this week goes to Nancy Young. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to 2-time Pulitzer Prize winning sports photographer Stan Grossfeld. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener for 1380ths of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. And now a special appearance by Mr. Baseball, the great but not yet late Bob Uecker from the movie Major League.
Top of the sixth, and rookie sensation Ricky Vaughn on the pitch now. You can close the book on Kellner.
Thank God.
Vaughn, a juvenile delinquent in the offseason in his Major League debut. Vaughn into the windup in his first offering. just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed. Ball four. Ball eight. Low, and Vaughn has walked the bases loaded on 12 straight pitches. Boy, how can these guys lay off pitches that close?
This podcast is a production of the Reduce Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reduceshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less. So much less. So much less.